Join me in the book of Ruth. Today I'm going to bring our study, our discussion of the book of Ruth, to a close. With Athel coming next week, I figure that's a fair enough time for a transition. And so I want to sort of summarize and bring everything together in this final chapter of the book of Ruth. Also, I would ask you to begin praying for our next series. I think we have 2 weeks yet, so who knows, but I think we are headed toward 1 Corinthians and study the Paul's writings to the church in Corinth, which is very, very applicable for us today. So first of all, please join me in the third chapter of the book of Ruth, because I want to, since it's been a couple of weeks since we've talked about this spiritual aspects of the kinsman redeemer. If you remember the sermon a couple of weeks ago, under the care of the Goel, kinsman redeemer. And we pointed out here in the portion of chapter 3 how that came together. So I want to remind you of that and then move to chapter 4. So chapter 3, verse 1. One day Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter," speaking to Ruth, of course, "should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking, was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant, Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after younger men, rather rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I." I'll stop there for just a moment, just to quickly remind you of this act of spreading the garment over Ruth, of which she asked. That was that answer, if you will, to the marriage proposal. But it is a very full act, a very pregnant term of spreading the cloak, spreading the garment over one in this day, meant that the one giving the cloak, giving the garment, was taking responsibility for and providing for, nurturing all the needs, taking care of all the needs of the individual. We looked at Elijah when he spread his cloak over Elisha, making him that understudy, if you will, to the prophet Elijah. Here, Ruth is asking Boaz to marry him by lying down at his feet and uncovering him. And then when he spreads that garment over her, he is acknowledging the reception of the invitation and saying yes. But then there's this thing of which the integrity and character of Boaz comes to light. He says, "It is true, I am a kinsman, but there is one nearer than I." If I could say it this way, Boaz was a second cousin. There was a first cousin in line. And so in the line of taking over, that first cousin had priority. Boaz, knowing this gentleman, said, "I will do what you ask, but I have to take care of the business first." So now move with me to chapter 4. As I said before, that chapter 3 is sort of the spiritual aspects of what it means to be that Goel, being that kinsman redeemer and taking on the responsibility of that in a very spiritual way. Well, here in chapter 4, we move into the legalities, the technical aspects of making this come to pass. So I give you chapter 4. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. When the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here." And they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not tell me, so I will know, for no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the kinsman redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself," and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today you are witnesses." Then the elders and all those at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age, for your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than 7 sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son." And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Amminadab. Amminadab the father of Nahshon. Nahshon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz. Boaz the father of Obed. Obed the father of Jesse. And Jesse the father of David. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. In short, we have just read almost something like a court transcript of the legal transaction that took place after Ruth had asked Boaz to marry him, being that kinsman redeemer, and then the integrity of Boaz saying, "I will do it, but there is one nearer than me. I must settle that with him first, and if he does not, then he would come in and be that redeemer." And so Boaz goes to the city gate, which is like city hall, if you will, where business transactions were conducted. And he took care of the business at hand, and through this he redeems Ruth, and Naomi becomes the owner of Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion's land, and also takes Ruth as a wife. The Redeemer, the kinsman Redeemer. Not just anyone could have done this. They had to be of particular character, particular position, and particular place. So I would like for just a moment to look deeper into this aspect of being the legal kinsman redeemer. First of all, to redeem. What does it mean to redeem? It means to set free by paying a price. Naomi and Ruth needed to be redeemed, and in this legal transaction, money had to change hands, and so they were redeemed, and the property brought back into a open and free use position at the care of Boaz. But now Boaz, the individual, how was he the kinsman redeemer in that legal way, in that legal technical way? First of all, as I've said repeatedly, he had to be a kinsman. He had to be blood related. Not just anyone could walk in and say, oh, I'll take care of Naomi, I'll take care of Ruth, I'll take care of the land. It had to be someone within the family, because in God's providence, as we see the law laid out in Leviticus, it was the intention to have the land and the names of the individuals to stay within the clan, to stay within the family of God. God did not want that land or the name to go outside the family. So it was the responsibility of someone within the family to redeem them. It had to be a kinsman. It had to be a blood relation. It had to be someone in the family to do that. Secondly, he had to have ability. He had to have ability. Here Boaz is a man of good standing in the community. He owns property. He owns land. He had to have the financial means to be able to secure this land, remove its mortgage, and clear the debt that we believe was associated with the land. Boaz had that ability. Boaz had that place, that station, to redeem the land. And then he had to be willing. He had to be willing to do it. Now here we see something of his willingness and the lack of willingness by that closer kin. He went to the one closer kin and said, and he kind of played a trick on him just a little bit. He told him about the land, and the gentleman was all for buying land. But then when he told him that Naomi and Ruth was a part of the land, he could not do that because he said it might endanger his estate, which we believe that it would endanger his estate if he took this land, took Naomi and Ruth had a son, and that son happened to be older than any of his previous son, or sons born to his wives later, Ruth's son would have priority. And so his entire estate would then fall into another category entirely. And he did not want to risk that. So this first redeemer was not willing. Boaz had to be willing. And just as he told Ruth, he was willing. Now, here is Boaz. He is the near kinsman. He is the one able to be the redeemer. And he is the one willing to be the redeemer, to secure this in a very legal transaction, so that in this land there would be no qualms, no connections, no ties to this land. It would be free and clear, and Ruth and Naomi would be redeemed. Throughout the entire book of Ruth, I have used Boaz to point to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another place where it points to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the legal, technical redeemer of his people, just as Boaz was that legal redeemer from or for Ruth and Naomi. I hate to turn a sermon into such a legal transactionary kind of thing, but that's basically where we are. Just like Boaz, Jesus is a near kinsman to those who are being redeemed. You say, how can that be? He was not born in my family. He's not the family of humanity. By Jesus Christ coming to this world incarnate, by him taking on the blood and flesh of humanity, he became that related person to those of which he would redeem. So Jesus, just like Boaz, is that kinsman redeemer for you and I. No other could fill that position, because it was Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Son of Man, born into flesh, taking on humanity, that became my relative. He became my kinsman redeemer. And so just like Boaz, Jesus was the kinsman. Just like Boaz, Jesus was able. He had the ability to redeem. Just as we spoke about last week in Colossians, I won't go and read it to you again, but last week in Colossians, we read that very legal action or that legal language about saying what who Jesus Christ is, the invisible image of God. He is the firstborn of all things, the firstborn of the dead. He controls and rules and has the order of all creation. In this, he has the ability to redeem. There's another reason he has the ability. And it's because of the travesty of our sin and the majesty and the holiness of God. God was so assaulted. God the Father was so defamed. His character so defiled in our sin that it took someone of the capacity of God to redeem the exaggerated nature of price necessary to justify God the Father. I don't have that capacity. Someone could have come to me and said, Tim, I'm going to kill you for the redemption of your sin. Okay, but it won't work because I don't have the capacity. I don't have ability to satisfy the just demands of a holy and righteous Father. Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, was the only one who had the ability to pay the price to redeem, the necessary price. Thirdly, just like Boaz, our Lord Jesus Christ was willing. Boaz was willing to redeem Naomi, willing to redeem Ruth. Our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to redeem you. If you remember John chapter 17, that high priestly prayer, that most intimate of prayers where the Lord Jesus is acknowledging his place and he thanks the Father for those that he had given him and those are the ones that he is dying for so that the Father and we may be one. Also at that same time in the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord in his humanity cried out, let this cup pass from me, because the burden of sin, the burden of our sin was becoming so great and so massive, he was feeling the entire weight of the sinfulness of humanity. And so he pleaded in his humanity, Lord, if you would, let this cup pass from me. But then ultimately, what did he pray? Father, your will be done. He showed his willingness to do that which the Father required to redeem you and me. And so our Lord Jesus went to the cross. Boaz, all he had to do was simply write a check, go through a marriage ceremony, and he redeemed the land, and he redeemed Ruth and Naomi. Our Lord Jesus Christ, if you will, wrote a check, but he did it with his life. He did it with his life on a cross, so that you and I might be redeemed by that kinsman redeemer. No one else could do it. No one else could do it. Now, the redemption is done. Boaz takes Ruth as a wife. Naomi, being a part of this transaction, is brought into the household as well. They are cared for. And look at what is the outcome of Boaz's redemption of Ruth and Naomi. Look at the lineage of which is now put in place by the will of God through the redemption of Ruth, bringing her legally and technically correct into the family of God. We have the lineage of David given here. For this to be legal and proper, that the Son of God would come from the family of God, this had to transpire in the spiritual way of which we discussed, but also in the very legal way. Things had to be done right and in an orderly fashion. And just like Ruth, we have been redeemed. We are now a part of the family of God in a very legally transacted way. How many of you, any of you adopted children, been a part of adoption of children? You don't just walk up to someone and say, oh, I would like that child. It is a very laborious, sometimes expensive, legal transaction to move the name of an individual to another family and give them that name. It is a very legally oriented transaction. It's based in love and care and nurture, but there is that legal transaction that must take place. This is exactly what has happened for you and me. In a very legally transacted way, you and I are a part of the family of God. You and I have the last name of Jesus Christ because He is not only our Lord, He's not only our Redeemer, He is that kinsman who purchased me with the blood, His blood. And so we are of His family. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 was written by Levi, the tax collector, the Jew that was working with the Romans to collect taxes. The Lord Jesus called him to be a disciple. And so he has written here a book of which we love greatly. But here in the first chapter of Matthew, we see the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. This genealogy was to substantiate Jesus Christ in the eyes of the Jewish people. A very legally oriented transaction, a very legally oriented document is given here to prove that Jesus Christ is the descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that He is the descendant of King David, that He is the Lord God Almighty, the one of their brothers brought up to be the Lord. Let's see. The first paragraph about verse 5 and 6. You see here repeated what we just read in Ruth chapter 4. Salmon, the father of Boaz. Boaz, the mother of Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of King David. And then go down the line. Father to Solomon. Solomon to Rehoboam. And on down until you get to Jesus Christ. Notice the name Obed. Obed was born to a foreigner. Right? To Ruth. Born to a foreigner. There was only one way that Obed would have his name reprinted here in Holy Scripture. There's only one way that can come to pass. Because he was legally redeemed, his mother, Ruth, was legally redeemed and brought into the family of God. And so now his name can appear here as a person within the family of God, as an ancestor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in the book of Revelation, it speaks about the book of life. It speaks about having our names recorded in the book of life. How can we ever hope to have our names recorded in that book? I'm a foreigner. I'm an alien. I'm a Gentile. Born outside the family of God. Even the earthly family of God. How can I ever hope to have my name appear in that book of life? There's only one way. And that is that I was redeemed by a kinsman redeemer. And so my name is recorded in the book of life, just as Obed's name is recorded here. Your name. Put your name here. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, your name goes here just like Obed's, David's, Solomon's, Rehoboam's. Your name appears because you have legally been redeemed by a kinsman redeemer. But I ask the question, is that true for all of us here today? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your name is written in that book of life? As I said, there's only one way. Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through and by me. There's only one way we can have our names listed in the book of life. And again, I apologize for such a legally transacted type of sermon, but there are the legal aspects of this that we've seen here. How about you? Is your name there? As I've said, one of my greatest fears is being on that day we see the Lord Jesus Christ looking around for all of you. And there might not be one of you that's not there. I pray you understand the Lord Jesus Christ as Redeemer.